Thursday, February the 12th here on the Midday Show. Thanks so much for being along on Rogers TV on 570 News, 10:05. It is going to be a cold one today. And we have a list of warming centers throughout Waterloo Region up on our website, 570news.com, going down to like minus 24, I think I heard John Wilson say. And that's no wind chill.
Yeah, minus 30 with the wind chill.
Yeah.
Like, could, minus 30 or colder, I should say.
Or colder, yeah. Right. That's important to note. So, we have warming centers up on our website, 570news.com. You can check that out. I've tweeted a link as well, at Eric Droz. And there's lots to get to today on the show. We'll talk about the Costa Concordia shipwreck, the 16-year sentence for the captain who abandoned ship. A lot of people say 16 years, 32 people are dead. And that's it. That's what we're doing. I mean, the guy abandoned ship. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the program. I want to start off with Victoria Park Lake, because what is more, there's nothing that's more Canadian than skating on a frozen lake. Outdoor rinks at City Hall, although great, they're just not the same. Some Kitchener residents recall a time when hundreds of people would make their way to Victoria Park for an after-school or after-work skate on that lake. Now, in 2002, Kitchener discontinued clearing the lake of snow due to a particularly warm winter that made the surface of the ice dangerous. And now, due to a couple of cold winters over the last few years, some Kitchener residents are hoping that the city will take a look once again at bringing public skating back to the lake in Victoria Park. Harold Russell is a Kitchener resident. He's written editorials about skating on the lake, and he takes the time to join us this morning. Harold, thanks so much. How are you?
Good morning, Eric.
So take me back here, Harold, to the days when people were skating on Victoria Park Lake. You clearly remember doing this. Tell me about that. How was that?
Well, I grew up in the Victoria Park neighborhood, and for all my life, and for 30, 40 years before that, the city of Kitchener cleared and maintained the ice surface. And it was wonderful. If you lived in the neighborhood, you could put your skates on at home or put them on in the boathouse and walk down to the park and skate for a few hours after school, or you could come back in the evening or on the weekends. People used to come in from some distance to the downtown area of the park. It was a very popular attraction. What we'd call today a destination.
Yeah.
And it's too bad it's gone.
Yeah. Take me back to 2002 when the city discontinued this. Was there talk about it then? Did you write editorials about it then?
Well, the city made the move after a couple of winters, which were mild. And obviously there is an issue with time when the ice is not suitable for a long period of time. I've felt that the city pulled the plug on the ice skating prematurely, at least in my opinion. I think that there are other factors other than just the simple idea that there's global warming. We have warm water coming down Schneider Creek from the former rubber plants up the way. I think in this day and age, we ought to be able to address something that was so popular in order to get people in outside in the winter and on a popular surface.
Have you spoken, Harold, to councillors about this? Have you brought this to anyone's attention? I know you're writing about it, but have you spoken with any councillors?
In 1994, we moved back into what was then my family home, and for a few years we were able to skate, and it was a wonderful thing. I looked forward to bringing my grandchildren over as I'd brought my children. But once it was done, it's hard to fight City Hall. I have written at least one letter in the past, maybe two. City councilors have said, yes, we'll look into it, we'll think about it, we'll see what we can do. Nothing ever came of it. And I ride or walk around the park a lot. I see the empty surface. I remember what was. And so I thought it'd be worthwhile trying to open the discussion one more time.
Are you at all concerned about safety, Harold?
Well, of course I'm concerned about safety. But the number of times that there have been accidents on the lake compared to the amount of joy that this provided over the years is a dramatic contrast. There have been times when tractors went through the ice, maybe a couple of times in the past, and that's the dramatic story. But the more important story is that over the years, people have gotten a lot of joy out of it. And so, yes, you have to be cautious about that, but think about the bigger picture is my view.
All right, Harold, I do appreciate you taking the time and speaking with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric.
All right, Harold Russell right there, a longtime Kitchener resident, recalls a time when public skating existed on Victoria Park Lake in Victoria Park, and says it's something that he feels like everyone should experience. I want to bring in Frank Etherington, who is a counselor, of course, with the city of Kitchener. Frank, thanks so much for doing this. Have you guys heard from anyone, I mean, other than Harold, about perhaps taking a look at bringing public skating back to the lake at Victoria Park?
No, good morning, Eric. I have not, since being on council, I've been there for about 5 years. I haven't seen anything. There's been the occasional discussion on council about using that surface again for skating, but it's just very occasional conversations and never in an official way. I don't recall anyone coming to us and asking that it be revived, and even if that happened, I don't think it would happen. I live on the edge of the park. In fact, I look out my front window. I'm looking out the front window at the moment at the lake and toward the rink that the city has on the common area just across the road. I was never a good skater, but I often took my kids to skate on the lake. That was way back in the 70s and when they skated rings around me, and that was also when the dinosaurs roamed the park, and the Leafs won the occasional game.
Oh, but, hey now, yeah.
But that was when we had reliably freezing cold winters and solid, safe ice.
Yeah, and things are changing, aren't there? I mean, I believe it was the University of Waterloo weather station that said over the last 17 years or so, there have only been six winters that have been colder than the average, and you know that maybe this year and perhaps last year, you know, one can look at and say, well, you know, why don't we take this winter by winter and decide every winter whether we're going to open it up or not?
Yeah, that is possible, but Harold mentioned this. I actually watched a city tractor clearing snow from the ice that went through the ice into the water. And the operator jumped clear, but that was a few years ago, showing how unsafe the ice was. I think it'd be terrific if we could skate occasionally on that ice, but how much money do you want to spend and waste those taxpayer dollars to try to keep the lake open for skating? I've seen the occasional winter more than a decade ago, where we spent money, a lot of money, to prepare and sweep the ice, and then there's a big melt, sometimes even the following day. It was a total waste of money, so I can understand why they've backed away from it, and we're also in days of legal liability where if someone went through that ice, the city sure as heck would get sued. So
yeah, back in the days where this was allowed and people were skating on this lake, how often does a nice surface like that on a lake like that would have to be checked? Is that like a daily thing? Would that be like a weekly thing? I mean, what can you tell me about that?
I don't know what it was like when Harold's talking about it, but certainly when I've seen it, it would have to be checked every day. And every time we get a snowfall, you'd have to have equipment on there clearing the snow and preparing the ice. But I would think the actual safety of the ice and the depth of the ice, surely you would have to do that every single day.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that costs money, having someone out there and checking that kind of stuff. And as you mentioned, clearing, you know, when there's a snowfall. Some people will say, what's the matter with the rinks that we have now? We have ice pads out there. We have the rink at City Hall. You know, do you feel like people are happy with those?
As far as I'm aware, they're happy. You certainly have the old-timers like me who look back nostalgically on skating on the lake. And certainly there are a lot of those people because it would be fantastic to have it there. But I don't think it's going to be. Even the rink, you know, that we have right now on the common, there have been years where that has only lasted a matter of days before it melted and they gave up on it.
Yeah.
It's okay this winter. This winter is great for ice, but most years it's a waste of effort and money.
Yeah. Well, I tell you a quick story before I let you go. Yep. I'm driving down the expressway, driving down Highway 8 towards the 401 the other day with producer Haley Zimak, and we're crossing over the Grand River Bridge, and there are kids playing hockey on the Grand River. And I'm assuming that is something that should not be happening, right?
No, it's something that probably people from the city turn a blind eye to when they see it happening. And that's the situation we're in on a lot of these recent incidents with rinks where people unofficially get on a surface of ice and start skating.
Yeah.
The trick is not to ask, you know, just go ahead and do it.
Just go ahead and do it. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Eric.
All right, Frank Etherington, excuse me, city councilor with the city of Kitchener. We're talking about public skating on Victoria Park Lake. Is this something that you would like to see back? Is this something that perhaps city council should take a look at again and you know, maybe assess winter to winter? It's true. Things are getting warmer, and it's not just as simple to say every year we're going to be able to skate on Victoria Park Lake or any other body of water for that matter. But maybe we take a look at winter to winter and we assess whether, you know, if it's going to be a cold winter, maybe it's just for a couple of months in January and February when it's particularly colder. I would love your thoughts on this. Do you remember a time where you skated on the lake in Victoria Park? There's nothing quite like it. I will admit that. I grew up playing hockey on a frozen pond in Arendale Park in Mississauga. So, you know, there's nothing quite like skating on a frozen body of water. As great as the rinks outside city halls are and the little ice pads that we have, those are fantastic. Still gives you that feeling. But is there anything better than skating on a frozen, and anything more Canadian than skating on a frozen body of water? I mean, that's about as Canadian as it gets. So would you like to see skating in Victoria Park on the lake be brought back? It's the Midday Show. We'll take your calls and your emails next here on Rogers TV and 570 News.
Today, we live in a 24-hour news cycle. Things are changing every second. Sign up for 570 News breaking news alerts at 570news.com.
In this day and age, we ought to be able to address something that was so popular in order to get people in outside in the winter and on a popular surface.
The actual safety of the ice and the depth of the ice, surely you would have to do that every single day.
570 Midday continues with Eric Drost.
Well, that is Harold Russell, a Kitchener resident who has written some editorials about skating on a frozen lake in Victoria Park, and Frank Etherington, a city of Kitchener councillor. We are talking about skating on a frozen lake in Victoria Park. And what is more Canadian than that? And once upon a time, that's exactly what used to happen in Victoria Park. That was before my day. But of course, winters, today aside, and maybe the last couple of winters aside, aren't what they used to be. We hear that all the time, right? I mean, things are warming up. So, and the University of Waterloo Weather Station actually has the numbers to back that up. Over the last 17 winters, only six have been colder than the average Canadian winter. And even the average Canadian winter in this part of the country is barely cold enough to have outdoor frozen lake skating. But is it perhaps something that we take a look at from winter to winter? Do you think that would be a good use of some money to get kind of bring that nostalgia back and have everyone experience skating on a frozen lake in Victoria Park? Phone lines are open, 519-570-2545. Locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, star 570 by cell, and by email, eric@570news.com. Elizabeth, good morning. Thanks for your phone call.
Good morning. This was something that my neighbor girls And myself did back in the 50s. And we walked. We were never driven anywhere. And we loved the skating. We lived by KCI, and we knew all the shortcuts to go to the pool as well on Queen Street. But anyway, but without the boathouse there that I don't know where people, it would be harder to put on their skates and leave their boots somewhere and things like that.
Yeah.
And also now people are driving more, and there isn't a lot of parking in Victoria Park at all. And that, I think that would be a little harder to do, but we all loved it, and it was a destination for us. And then back when the auditorium was built, they had free skating on Saturday mornings, and we would go there.
And it kind of shifted over. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Elizabeth. I want to get going because Marianne is on the line. And Marianne, is this something that you could see coming back, something that you'd support?
I definitely would support it. I virtually lived there in the winters. I, too, like Elizabeth, you just didn't go anywhere else. And we had those lovely little guards that went on our blades, and you tiptoe down the sidewalks. And people weren't so concerned if there was ice on the sidewalks because we'd skate across it. And it was just something that you did every day of the week as long as you could. And if the snowplow couldn't get on, people came with their shovels, and we shoveled paths. And even if it was just, 20 by 20 square, like you still were outdoors and skating. And when I tell my grandkids this, well, I took my own children, but my grandkids, they look at me and go, "You skated on water?"
Yeah, yeah.
But, I have to agree, it's this legality business. I don't know how many times as a kid I fell through the ice. My own mother fell through the ice.
Really? Was that in Victoria Park?
Yeah, it definitely was. And what we worried about was the muck at the bottom from the ducks, not drowning. It was sort of like you had to floss home. But in 67, they had the great big centennial fireworks down there, and that was the year my mother fell through there.
Wow. Well, listen, Marianne, thank you very much for the phone call. Glad you and your mother both were okay after that. But to Elizabeth's point, who called just a few moments ago, Matt, it's something that you're right. You almost need somewhere to let people, benches or something to sit down, put on your skates, leave your boots. You ever gone skating in Central Park?
Well, no.
They have a rink in Central Park. It's not a frozen lake. They put the rink in, but it seems like you're skating on a frozen surface because of the way all the trees are surrounding it and everything. But they have an entire almost like a little clubhouse, right? I mean, they're selling hot chocolate. They places inside to sit down. They're renting skates out there. So you'd almost need something like that.
I skated on Victoria Park.
Oh, you have?
When I was younger, yeah. So, okay. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that people were doing it. And I remember my parents bringing us in a minivan, and we'd put our skates on in the minivan with the skate guards and walk over and take off the skate guards and go skating. It kind of sucked. I'll be honest. It was bumpy and, the snow.
Oh, you didn't like it?
No, because right across, we had the big field where they had the little ice pad. What we called the ice pads or the hockey rinks.
Right.
And we wanted to play hockey anyway. So, we'd be skating on the bumpy Victoria Park Lake, and then we'd be like, well, no, let's go over there and play hockey.
That's real stuff, though. That's the experience. The odd bump in the ice. Bust out a hockey stick, man.
It was fun to skate on, but you couldn't play hockey on it. So we went over to the man-made ones, and we had a better time there.
Well, Joe says, I've never skated on the frozen lake, but would definitely consider buying a pair of skates if it were available at Victoria Park. So it's very interesting. Diane says, isn't the Vic Park Lake problem because of the freeze melt and that it's so unpredictable now? And that's exactly what it is. It has to do with the safety. Adrienne on Twitter says, please, let's do this again. And Stevie says, I would. Good memories. Love to have my kids experience that as well. Thank you for all of your phone calls and emails. It is 10:28 on the Midday Show. Coming up, we talk to a man, a Breslau man, who has... he has some words to say about a school that's being set up, built in his backyard. Not quite, but very close to his backyard. And he started an online petition. We speak to him next on the Midday Show on Rogers TV and 570 News.
Being a parent is around-the-clock job. So if you missed today's parent report on 570 News, you can listen anytime on the audio page at 570news.com.
All right, 10:35 here on the Midday Show on Rogers TV and 570 News. And coming up at 11:05, we'll be talking about the Costa Concordia verdict for the captain there that abandoned the ship. 16 years in prison for the death of 32 people. He was convicted of manslaughter in the deaths of 32 people. He abandoned ship. A lot of people saying 16 years, not enough. So we'll talk about that at 11:05. We'll get your thoughts on it as well. This is an interesting one as well. A local man's petition online has garnered about 180 signatures. He initially wrote an open letter on his blog, The Scene From Here, which was addressed to Woolwich Mayor Sandy Shantz and the chair of the WCDSB, Manuel De Silva. And it read, quote, "I am writing this letter to let you know that as a resident of Breslau, I have sufficient concerns, significant make that concerns, with your plans to build a new school in the green space directly behind my house. While I acknowledge the need for this school and the desperate need in Breslau for a proper library and accompanying services, I strongly disagree with your chosen location or the way this project has been handled. Several years ago, my family built a new home in Breslau, and we selected a new lot based on the characteristics that the lot backed onto a green space. This cost me a $5,000 premium added to the purchase price. I did not pay $5,000 to the builder so that I can look at a school building. Do you plan on providing me with a refund?" Matthew Vandermeer is that Breslau resident and joins us on the line. Thanks so much. How are you?
I'm doing well.
If I'm understanding this correctly, this premium for your home, and I believe you mentioned that was paid to the builder, correct?
Yeah. So the open letter that you just read from there, that was kind of my gut reaction to the project when I first heard about it. Now, the premium is kind of a good lesson learned, I think, for everybody who's listening, is that the builder, of course, you know, they draw these lots on this nice big piece of paper and they ask you to select what lot you like and so on and so forth. And they say, well, these lots here are backing onto a park, so there is a premium to that lot. So we say, well, that's fine. We're okay with that. I mean, that's what it costs. That's what it costs. But as I've kind of learned a little bit, is that premium is only relevant for the time you move in. Once you move in, there's no guarantee that space stays that way because the developer doesn't own it. It's just an interesting little tidbit there. That, I mean, I don't believe there's any recourse on that. Although I have talked to my neighbors about this, and they have, you know, mentioned that maybe there is one. But we'll see how that goes when this project gets settled out.
But your beef with the $5,000 premium, I mean, that is with the builder, right?
That is with the builder, because the builder has kind of promised something that they have no ability to promise. You know, they're saying this is green space, so you have to pay more for this. You know, in my head, that meant, oh, this has been official green space from the township or whoever else, and it's going to stay that way. But the builder didn't really have any guarantees that would be the case either.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as this school is concerned, this is by no means a done deal, right? I mean, there will be public consultations held later on this month.
So when the official proposal went out, they said February 26th at the community center in Breslau, there will be a public meeting on this issue. So I am jumping the gun a little bit with the amount of information that I'm requesting from them. But I just felt that, you know, what was the problem of giving us all the information up front so we can process that and then we can ask intelligent questions at this public meeting at the end of February? So that's what we're waiting for now. So there's a lot of information that I've put out there. And since I put it out there, there's been a lot of the township has come back now with actual pictures and drawings of where this is going to be. So I'm happy to see those.
Right. As far as the school is concerned, paint me a picture here. I mean, you look out onto the backyard, and right now you're looking at white space right now. But during the summertime, you're looking out on green space. And is the school going to be directly behind your home? I mean, paint me a picture here.
So, I mean, if I look directly out my backyard heading straight out, I will not quite see it. But it is definitely going to be right there. I mean, it's about four houses down. We'll be backing onto the official line where they said will be school property. And then, of course, the building will be there. So I will definitely be seeing the building. My house is and all the houses on my street are set up a little bit like they grade them a little bit higher. So I sit about, I don't know, like maybe a 10-foot drop down to the park, and my lot kind of gradually goes down to there. So I am sitting up above it, so I can definitely see over the fences, and I can see those. Oh, I will see the school for certain. And many of us along my side of the street there have chosen to build a specific fence at the back of the property with the understanding that we're looking onto a soccer field. So some of us have built a 4-foot fence. Some of us have built, wrought iron fences and other such fences that you can see the space. Now, that turns into a school. That would definitely have changed our decision of what kind of fence to build in the back of the property as well.
It's not the school particularly that you have. I mean, it's any building that would go up there, right? Because I'm thinking, like, you know, a school is something that, of course, a community needs. And if there's a need for that, and as I understand it, it's a two-story school that will hold 250 students. I also understand that there will be a new community library. But you just don't want to see any kind of changes to that. And we also reached out to the mayor, and they said that it would only take up about 2% of the land.
Well, but that's funny because I've heard about six different numbers now, and the percent of the land it's taking up. There's a lot to unpack there. We'll start with that percent of the land. So when you're talking about percent of the park itself, look, if you drew a line around the entire Braslaw Memorial Park, including the tennis court and the parking lots and the baseball diamonds and the two soccer fields, the actual building itself may only take up about 5% or something like this. But when you look at the open green space that could be used for any purpose, not baseball, not parking, not tennis, just open space that you can have a big picnic on or soccer or anything else, this school property, if fenced off, which I don't know if it will be or not, will take up a lot more than 5% of that nice open space.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the new community library that is also in the works, any issue with that? Have you heard about that?
This is a part where I start to get a little bit frustrated because I definitely support a community library in Braslaw. Braslaw is expanding significantly, and we need to have a proper library. Our library for our township, for Braslaw, would be the Bloomingdale branch. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Bloomingdale branch. It's a fantastically run library, but it's very tiny. And a lot of people in Braslaw would love to see a library. I would love to see a library. And if Braslaw was completely built out and there's no space for any more houses, we finished off that building, I would be less hesitant to build in this space. But the reality is, there's like three roads that go out to nowhere right now because that's future development. So future development is less than like 300 feet away from where they want to put it now. Why can't we move it potentially to those other locations? I know it all comes down to money and finances and that sort of thing, but it just seems like we do have other spaces to put this. And if we put it in a different space, Braslaw will gain even more green space for a nice schoolyard that could be built.
So what you're asking of the township and of the school board is to reconsider the location of this school because as you mentioned, this premium that you feel like it would have been wasted because you feel like you had to pay that and now you won't have exactly what you paid for.
I would agree with that. And I paid the premium. But I also bought a house in a location with an assumption that that location is what it is now. If I was told at the beginning, there's going to be a school built right back in here, just so you know, would we have picked that lot? I don't know. Maybe we would have moved down closer to the other side of that park to avoid that part. So there are two soccer fields back there right now. One is a larger, more of a high school adult type size, and one's more of like a 7-8-year-old soccer type size. So that 7-8-year-old soccer field would be completely gone when they're done this. So I would have probably picked a lot further down the road a bit, so I would be away from it. So your change, I purchased the house at of course the cost as houses could do, with an assumption that this is my location. Now my location, even though I haven't physically moved, has significantly changed if this project goes through.
Mm-hmm. Let me read you a quote we have here from the mayor. As I mentioned, we reached out to the mayor, Sandy Shantz, Willits Township, who couldn't join us on the show. We did want her to join us, but she had other engagements. Let me just read you a quote, and I get your comments on this. Quote, the benefit of having the school there will be that those funds from the school board will be reinvested into the park and the local community rather than to a developer. The property is about 19.5 acres. The school would only take up about 2% of the land. That's what I mentioned to you earlier. There will still be acres left of the park. I understand that change is difficult, and as mayor, I have been responding to the requests and concerns as they come in. We did come to the community quite early with the proposal, and it is still very early in the process. it is not a done deal. The next step is more public consultation, which is happening through social media and emails. On February 26th, there will be a public meeting where the township staff, school board, and library members will be present. Your comments on that?
I'm happy to hear that she's still considering consultation, that this is not a done deal. As far as the money, so we basically been told in order to do any upgrades to the Memorial Park, Breslin Memorial Park, we have to sell part of it. That is the only way that we're going to get they listed a laundry list of upgrades from resurfacing tennis courts to new stone pathways to splash pad and some other type of accessible playground, I think was one. So they're saying the only way we can ever do any of those things is we have to sell part of the park. So, and I just kind of look around Breslin. Now, I'm not a finance expert, nor am I an expert in the township's finances, but I look around and I say, you know what? Development charges were paid by the developer for all of these thousands of homes that I'm seeing around me. Each one of those homes pays $4,000 plus in property taxes all the way around me. Now, you're telling me that all that money is allocated already to something other than the tiny amount it would take to fix this park up. So, like, I'm just really skeptical that this is the only way to achieve these upgrades to the park. So it gets a little bit skeptical there. And then, so if they say, yes, this is the only way to do it, then I would love to see kind of a balance sheet of, like, here's the cost of selling the school or the income, and here's all the upgrades we're going to bet, and the end of the result there is zero. I said, oh, okay, I see how that's going to work. But I'm just skeptical that that is the only way to pay for these things.
If you could somehow be reimbursed for the $5,000, would you be okay with the school being there?
At this point, it's way more than the money for me, because, do I ever expect a refund? No, I really don't actually expect a refund. But you're changing the location of my house to an unknown. Right now, I know what I paid for, and I know when I decide to sell my house, what I'm selling. But now, with a school coming in, maybe if it was a Catholic family, they would think the house is worth more because of that. Maybe if it's not a Catholic family, the house is worth less. So those are unknowns that I didn't sign up for. So the $5,000 is something, but that's, you know, it's in the mortgage, it's there. And I know that some other houses paid more than that for their premium. I also have issues a little bit with how they're talking about shared space. You don't share a school space. Like, there's a shared library space and a shared gym space that the school would benefit from. Now, it's a little bit difficult to share space when you have school property, because school property is school property during the school day. And then after that, you might have to share it out. So I have some questions about how that will all work as well.
Well, I got to tell you, Matt, it's a very interesting situation that you find yourself in. So there is a public consultation meeting on February 26th. I assume you're going to be there. Maybe we'll check in with you again. Now, thank you so much for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the program.
All right. Matt Vandermeer right there, who's a Breslau resident. Is this a case, perhaps, of not in my backyard? Or do you think that Mr. Vandermeer has a valid point? He thought he was buying something, and now it turns out as the place expands, schools need to be put in, things need to change. Is that something that you just have to swallow as a homeowner? Quick email from Catherine before we go to break and then take some of your phone calls. Premium Lot Homes backing on now bankrupt Saginaw Golf Course may have a quite different backyard now. Hashtag no guarantees. I mean, is that all that it is here? I mean, does Matt just have to realize that there's no guarantees when you buy something? I mean, try telling someone in Toronto that they have a view, and the next day there's another condo being built right in front of them, and no more view. Your view is gone. So does Mr. Vandermeer have a point? Is there some kind of reimbursement here? We'll take your calls and your emails. Coming up next, it's the Midday Show on Rogers TV and 570 News.
Canada's gardening expert Mark Cullen hosts The Green File. Catch up with Mark's weekly gardening reports available on the audio page at 570news.com.
The builder has kind of promised something that they have no ability to promise. They're saying, this is green space, so you have to pay more for this. In my head, that meant, oh, this has been official green space from the township or whoever else, and it's going to stay that way. But the builder didn't really have any guarantees that that would be the case either.
570 Midday continues with Eric Drost.
Yeah, and that is Matt Vandermeer, who is a Breslau resident. It's 10:53 here on the Midday Show, and some Breslau residents are opposing a plan to build an elementary school in the park beside their homes. And Mr. Vandermeer is saying, look, I paid an extra $5,000 premium to have my lot back out onto this green space, and now I don't have that anymore. Does Mr. Vandermeer have a valid point? I mean, his beef, in my opinion, should be with the builder, not the township, which is growing and needs to put in an elementary school. But how do you feel about this one? Phone lines are open, 519-570-2545 locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, star 570 by cell, and by email, eric@570news.com. Sherry is on the line. Hi, Sherry.
Oh, hi there. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. So what we're calling in, I am one of the Breslau residents as well, but I live on the park currently. We bought our home, presuming as well that there would be nothing in the future besides just a park for our children to go and play in and soccer and so forth. Breslau, I think we are very open-minded about the whole school, and we, of course, want to wait to February the 26th to see what they have to say. Mm-hmm. However, I think at this point we have further looked down the line. There are another 700 homes that have been approved for Breslau. So our concerns, of course, are will this the park, and I've seen different documents showing that it will be about 5% of the park. So certainly not, I'm sure Shandy Sons has even more on that, but we've seen, again, 5%. And so with the future development of the school, we have after-school programs. We're trying to get Elmira to push towards us that we can have for grades 5 to 8. So if we are to implement those programs for students, we're concerned about the after-school programs for the Catholic school, be it basketball, basketball or whatever else they need to use the gym for. Mm-hmm. We won't have that opportunity to use it as a community center as it should be. And we all initially thought that would be when we bought the land. Also, there are 20 trees in the park, mature trees, that they will have to cut down to make a bigger parking lot. And while we definitely think it'd be wonderful with the upgrades, because certainly enough, our taxes are unfortunately at this time able to do all the wonderful things that the Catholic school can bring right to us, is certainly, again, we have a lot of concern.
Right. Sherry, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. Steve is on the line. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi. I find it deliciously ironic that all these people that moved into these housing developments that were built in Breslau a few years ago are now complaining that their green spaces are going away, because the people that have lived there for many, many years, those were green spaces and farmland before.
Yeah.
And they moved into somebody else's green space, and they didn't seem to have a problem with it. But now that their green space is being taken away, they've got a problem with it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting take, Steve. Thanks for your phone call. And I only wonder, is it realistic to think that nothing is going to change when something is growing, a neighborhood in a place like Breslau? James is on the line. Go ahead, James.
Yes, good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
I don't mean to be sarcastic or facetious, but, cry me a river. I think ultimately what many of these folks are concerned about is their property values depreciating. When I was in Milton, it was a nice, quaint town, 40,000 people. That a few years later, boom, we had a Walmart. Next thing, that was Milton, Mississauga.
Yeah, and a few years later, 140,000 people reside there. Thanks for the phone call. Julie, go ahead.
It's funny because we have the same problem going in the small town of Wellesley. I don't know if you're familiar with Wellesley.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so we all bought, it's funny because we all bought in this one development, and we pay premiums on our lots as well. And contrary to, what's going on in Breslau, we actually did not, go in on anybody's green space at that point. Like when they built it, it was built slightly out of town. So here's the funny thing. So now the developer who told us that originally this one green space was going to be like, some sort of residential home for elderly people or something. Now they're trying to build it into this like high density housing units, including like row houses. So I feel for these people. We're going through the very same thing. And I wish that we could bring some light on that too, because now they're talking about bringing like 600 families into this space. It's ridiculous. So yeah. I get what these people are feeling. So
Julie, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate that. It is 10:58. I apologize if I couldn't get to your phone call. We will revisit this topic. I'm sure there's a public consultation on February 26th, so we'll talk about it then as well. We'll be back with much more. Midday Show continues on Rogers TV and 570 News.